This is the third morning service on August 11, 2019. The message is delivered by Pastor Seno. The message title is For Such a Time as This. The scripture passage is Book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Good morning. It's been 4 months since I delivered a message the last time. I'm so nervous. I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I came here by driving with my wife Hiroko, but she was wondering why I was so quiet this morning, and I realized that I was nervous. As if I were standing in front of a school teacher. And while I was waiting here, waiting for the service to start, somebody waved me, and that made me feel comfortable. So I went to Indonesia recently, in July. I've talked about my Indonesian stories many times, so there may be some stories which may overlap today, but I thought I would talk about this. The Duku village, the church in the Duku village celebrated the 40th anniversary. In 10 years, they're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary, but I'm not sure whether or not I'm going to be invited, or even if I had done, I'm not sure whether I will have an opportunity to speak about it in next 10 years. So please forgive me if there is some repeated stories. I encountered with Indonesia 47 years ago. In August 1972, I went to visit a small village in Banyuwangi area in East Java in Indonesia. So before the meeting in the church, people were sitting there and enjoying the conversations. And one old man said he knew some words, Japanese words. And said, I asked him, "Oh, what sort of words do you know?" And he said, "Bakelo," which is full. Jotonai, which means no good. And the third word was Romusha, which is labor in English. But Romusha, in this case, was meant particularly the young people who were brought from Java to Singapore or Burma for forced labor. And many of them never returned to Java. When I heard those Japanese words he knew, I looked around and I realized that many of the sons of these old men or old women never returned back to the village. And all of a sudden, one old man said, Japanese were cruel. There was no Japanese visiting the village after the war for 30 years. And after 30 years, I was the first Japanese to visit the village. And probably this man poured his grief and sorrow to a Japanese who visited there for the first time after the war. And it was a time I really had to recognize that my identification was Japanese. I was born just at the end of the war, and I never been to the war, but that's not an excuse for me. And I'm a Japanese, and I'm a part of a Japanese who is the assailant. So the meeting in the church started, and we praised and prayed. Then I stood up to deliver a message from the Bible. My mouth was dry, and I was shaking. I couldn't look at the faces of those old men and women. And I said to them, there are many beautiful words in Japanese, like love, joy, gratefulness. But I regret that we Japanese could not leave any of those beautiful words, but ugly words, in your memory. And I'm very shocked to find your sorrow and sufferings of losing your loved ones. And I cannot do anything for that. But I wish you would be able to forgive us for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And I saw the tears on the face of the old man who was sitting in the very front. After some time, I started to speak the message. And I didn't know Indonesian at that time, so I spoke in English, which was translated by Theodol, who was a friend of mine, into Indonesia. And one of the leaders of the village translated into Java, the language of Java. It was a very simple message that I delivered. The Jesus Christ, when someone receives the Jesus Christ in his heart, God gives three blessings. Forgiveness of sin, a new life, and the eternal life. After I finished my message, the leader who was translating the message into Java shouted, "Now we heard the gospel from a Japanese. Is there any difference between the gospel spoken by a Japanese and the gospel which we believe?" All the village people there said no, tidak. And the leader asked once more. 30 years ago, many soldiers came to this village from Japan. But today, God sent his soldier to this village. And the village people repeated, "Hallelujah, Amen." And the old people came up to me and hugged me, just like I was like their son. And I learned from this experience that an assailant can forget, but not a perpetrator, but not the victim. For those who lost the lives of their family members, it's not possible for them to forget even after 30 years or 70 years. And another lesson I learned there at that time was to recognize that I was a Japanese who was living the time 30 years after, only 30 years after the Second World War. Japanese companies were moving into Asian countries at that time to make more money. But there was no one, no Japanese who went there to serve the people there. And a question was asked to me at that time in my mind, how should I live as a Japanese Christian 30 years after the war? Then one passage came up to my mind, Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. This passage sounded like God's message to me saying, you are obligated both to Thais and Indonesians, victims of the war as well as those who are not directly the victims of war, but you have a debt to them. And I decided to take up historical debt as a Japanese Christian who lived 30 years after the war. And I decided to try to pay even a tiny bit of the debt which was made by a Japanese assailant. And I did not want my children or grandchildren to be said that the Japanese are cruel. And I decided to become a messenger of the peace. And that became the start of my historical perception. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And I had assurance that this was God's calling, that I should go to Asia to serve people there and to become a peacemaker. And for 10 years, I worked in Indonesia as a missionary. And I was invited to a Duku Church for 40th anniversary. And I'd like to introduce you some of those events for during those 40 years through slides. 40 years ago, in 1979, I left Japan from Haneda Airport, stayed in Bandu sometime, and God sent us, me and my wife, to a city of Solo in central Java. And 18 kilometers from Solo, city of Solo, there was a village called Duku. and we bought a car, a truck. And we traveled to the village of Duku with this truck. And God gathered the children in this village, and we started Sunday school. And God also called farmers, and we started home Bible study in a very simple house. Under the lamp, because there was no electricity at that time in the village. And 10 people, including one high school student, were baptized in the first year. But since the village was Islamic village, we couldn't conduct a baptismal service in the village. So we took them to the city and borrowed borrowed a pond in the house of one missionary, Mr. Fish. And we conducted the baptismal service to the first 10 people in the village there. So one student within these 10 people, Sudomo, failed university examination, so he spent 1 year in our home to study, and he decided to go to seminary instead of the university. And Tsuchiura Megumi Church supported Sudomo for 4 years. And he was able to study in the seminary and to graduate it. At that time, only 5,000 yen per month was enough to support the seminary student. And he finished his study in the seminary and went back to Duku village as a pastor of the church. In a first year, in August 17, was Independence Day, and there was many celebrations during that time. And the stage is made in the center of the city, and people gathered around it. And I wanted to do something in the festival, so I asked the village leader what I could do. And he suggested that maybe I could donate some awards to one of the games or competitions which was going to be done during the festival, and that was a cleaning competition. So I prepared some cooking utensils, pots and pans, and I donated those to the village. And Then I was invited to the celebration, and the village leader introduced that the award given to the winner of the cleaning competition was donated by me. And all of a sudden, I became famous in the village, and I became popular as Papa Seino. It was only 5,000 yen which costed to prepare pots and pans for the rewards, awards for the competition. Before that day, I was driving to the meeting, the church meeting, by our truck. There were occasions that the tires of my truck were flat, found to be flat. So there are some harassments to me. But after this day of celebration, I became popular. And since then, the leaders of the village began to come to the church. And on the October 28th, we conducted the first time in the history of this village a baptismal service in the village. And the leaders of the village and their wives were baptized. Some were the those who were working in the village hall, or the other one, the others were the school teachers. So the intellectual people in the village became Christians. And many people began to attend the meetings. And initially we had Sunday morning service from 11 o'clock. But it was very hot in this small house which we were using. And the church members decided to build a church. And the church borrowed something like 500,000 yen from the mission group, and everybody contributed to build the church on our own. And the first time in the history of Duku village, a church was built. And at the Christmas time of 1979, we celebrated the inauguration of this church building. And the village mayor attended this inauguration, which meant that this church was officially acknowledged as a religious place in the village. And every Sunday, the church was full of people from the village. And it was much more comfortable than before in the new building. And Dr. Kobayashi of JOCS, it's a medical mission, came to visit our village. And she examined the children in the village and found many were malnutritions. The children were not fed well, and it was easy to get sick, and many died. And Dr. Kobayashi suggested to serve meals a few times a week for children. And on Wednesday and Saturday, we served some meals to the children. And every month, we weighed our children for their weight to monitor the improvement of their health. And this meal service significantly improved the health of the children in the village. And in the following years, we continue to baptize new believers. It was not so easy for anyone to become a Christian because it was the Islamic area. So when they come to the church, it was not just casually visiting the church, but they had some resolution already to become Christians. We also had many visitors from overseas. And at the same time, because of the quick growth of Duku Church, the team association of Japan invited one person from the church to the retreat in Japan to give testimony. So Giono, who was a school teacher, came to Japan to give his testimony. And he visited also many Japanese churches, and he also visited the Megumi Church. At that time, the Megumi Church was still in the Komatsu area. And after the morning service, so many introduced themselves to Giono. And Giono is a very funny guy. And he found that there were many people who were working in the banks or in the Megumi Church. And then Giono joked to me, "Papa Seino, this Megumi Church, I understand why Megumi Church is rich. There's so many people who are working in the banks." So he was such a fun guy. he He also joked when we were driving to Amagi for a retreat. He talked to me that I feel like I'm in the dream, because I'm sitting in the back of the car and the pastor is driving for me. I want to ask you something, Papa Zeno. Since we were driving into the mountain area, so he was kind of wondering that whether we were approaching the airport or far away from the airport. But anyway, he was a so fun guy, and he came to visit Japan. From 76 to 86, we served there, myself and my wife and the two children. And Sudomo got married to a lady, Iayuk, and served in Duku Church. He became really the foundation of this church. In 2009, the church celebrated 30th anniversary, and some of the people from Megumi Church visited there. And the family of Sudomo grew with two children. Both children got married, so Sudomo is now a grandfather and close to 60 years old. Twenty-one people were baptized in the very early phase of the church. And what we see is that children and grandchildren of those 21 members are also the members of this church. So the faith has been succeeded from one generation to another in this church. And in the 40th anniversary, I delivered some offerings from Megumi Church to Duku Village. And it really reminded me of Philippians chapter 1, verse 3-5. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. There was a surprise this time when I visited there. It was a home Bible study meeting at the home of Giono. Who had a rather big house. And myself, my wife, and the two daughters, and my daughter and two granddaughters were invited. And after the meeting, I was introduced to people who were there. And I was told the one man was Santoso. Santoso was living in Lampung in Sumatra, and Giono invited him to come to Duku to see me, and he came all the way from Sumatra with his wife. Initially, I couldn't really recognize Santoso, because it's been 40 years since I saw him last. And he was a buddy of Sutuli, who was the second son of the Mr. and Mrs. Chipto. And the Sutri was the one who made my tires flat. And we talked about this. And Sutri said that that was masterminded by Santoso, who was there. And everybody really laughed about it. Santos was a little bit older than Sutri. And it seems that the Santoso ordered him to do it. Santoso was one of those who were baptized in the third baptismal service of the church. And Santos moved to Sumatra because the Indonesian government was trying to move people from Java to Sumatra, which was less populated. So Santos went to Sumatra, and initially he suffered of poverty, but he worked very hard to make his life successful. Now he owns his own land, and he became a leader of those who came to the village from Java, and he also living as a Christian there, and he's demonstrating a good role as a Christian in the village. And his daughter in his granddaughter is now the pastor's wife. So everybody there in the Duku church was surprised to hear that. But Santo said, "Papa Seno, I just followed what you told me." And he said, "I just followed the Mugiku Titisu, which was the material used for training the new Christians that I used." And in there, I taught from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Which one would you choose? So this is what I told the young people when they came to know the Christ. And he said he just followed what he learned. And 40 years later, after practicing it for 40 years, he became a really successful farmer in Sumatra. So the work that started in the Duku village is also continued in Sumatra, Lampung in Sumatra. And it is really a wonderful work of God. Forty years is a long time. So among the 21 people who were baptized in the first 2 years, half of them have already passed away. But their children and their grandchildren succeeded their parents' faith, and God's work is continuing. And I think now that the decision I made 47 years ago to go to Indonesia as a missionary was good. I recognized that I was a Japanese Christian living 30 years after the war, and I wanted to live as such a Christian in Asia, and it was good. I recognized myself to be such a Christian living 30 years after the war, and I thought about the history of Japan, and that was the decision I made at that time. And that reminded me of the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. The book of Esther is a story of Jews who were brought to Babylon as exiles. But the Babylonians plotted to terminate the Jews. And Esther was a queen in the palace, and Mordecai wrote a letter to Esther, verse 13. Mordecai sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Even queen was killed if she would go to the king without the permission. But Esther was willing to go to the king. The Mordecai said in verse 14, "Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" This question of Mordecai is a question asked to a question that asked to all the Christians who believe in God, who controls the history. What was the purpose of becoming believers of God in Japan? The fact that you received such wonderful education might have been for such a time as this. You were brought up by Christian parents for this very moment. Do you recognize it? Maybe you have assumed this position of yours for such a time as this. Does your heart tell you that? I learned Korean maybe because it was for such a time as this. The experience I had of cancer might have been to show as a model of a believer in this for such a time as this. I'm living as a Japanese Christian now. Maybe it was for such a time as this. Do you recognize that? If you do, that's a calling from God. If you don't have an answer to that question, let us pray so that God will call you, and let's respond to God's calling. Esther's answer was a decision made by someone who feared God. And if I perish, I perish. If I have to die for this, I'm ready to die. If I have to die, I'm willing to die. Let us pray.